So I'm going to call the Kootenai Fire District Policy Advisory Committee meeting to together on October 10th, 2018. Adam, could you start with introductions, please?
This is Adam Zace. I am. I live at 86 Putnam Avenue, and I'm a member of the Board of Fire Commissioners.
I'm Amy Cates. I live at 4782 Falmouth Road in Kootenai, and I'm a member of the public.
Fran Parks, Prudential Committee.
Jacqueline Mastro, 76 Trailbrook Road, Kootenai, and I guess I would be a member at large.
I guess so. So, all right. So, first thing I'm going to start with is purpose of this committee, the purpose of the policy advisory. That should be a standing committee for the purpose of reviewing the bylaws of the district. Not wrong one. Pardon me. There shall be a standing policy advisory committee. The committee shall make informal recommendations to the elected boards and committees of the Kootenai Fire District. Such recommendations may concern, but are not limited to, efficiencies in the operation of various departments, coordination of financial planning between the various departments, including the timing of capital expenditures. The Policy Advisory Committee may also research and evaluate any potential action which might improve the quality of service provided by the Kootenai Fire Districts to its residents. The committee shall be composed of one member of the Prudential Committee, a member of the Board of Fire Commissioners, and one member of the Board of Water Commissioners. Two members at large shall be appointed by the moderator on an annual basis. Such appointments are to be made each year at the time of the annual meeting or subsequent to the annual meeting should no district citizens volunteer before the said meeting. Until the first meeting of each year, the Prudential Committee member shall serve as chairman. Upon the convening of a committee, a chairman shall be elected by the members of the committee. The Policy Advisory Committee shall be advisory in nature only. The committee shall conduct meetings at least once a year. Okay, so first order of business is to elect a chairman. Unless somebody has a burning desire to be chairman, I'd be glad to do that.
That'd be great with me. So, what are we supposed to say?
I nominate
Fran Parks as the chairman.
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
So moved. we really don't need a clerk because the meeting is being recorded, and Chris at the fire department, who works for the Prudential Committee for 6 hours a week, will transcribe those minutes.
Okay.
And the next question, does anybody have any suggestions for policies to review?
Can I speak, Fran?
Yes.
Okay. I sent you an email about the mass law that we voted on, and you returned the email to me and said it was for anyone to download, and that, you know, because it was federal and state law, and I didn't really get your email because I didn't need to see the law. I served on the Policy Advisory Committee last year. I wanted you to bring the law to bring the new members up to speed so that we could discuss the district benefits. The Policy Advisory Committee last year didn't make this recommendation to abide by the mass law. It was the Prudential Committee that did it in an attempt to fix the situation that the Policy Advisory Committee had identified. The law was adopted by the taxpayers of Kootenai at the May annual meeting, and I would think that the taxpayers would expect us to follow the law, but the water department and the non-union employees of the fire department aren't being held to those minimum standards that we voted on. The law states that we can give more benefits than the minimum, but our goal was actually to save the district money. So I would think that the residents didn't really approve offering benefits above the law minimum. If we weren't going to follow the law, then why did we adopt it? And so that's about the mass law. And my my other thought was, when are we going to hold elected officials accountable for following bylaws? Okay? And I served on the Policy Advisory Committee last year. Cindy Gardner served as chairman. I'm under the impression that she wanted to serve again this year to follow up on last year's work, and I agreed that I would serve on bylaws so Cindy could serve again on this committee, but I was told that you, Fran, wanted new people on policy advisory, and I couldn't serve on bylaws because the moderator indicated that the two people that were currently serving on bylaws were going to serve again, but those two people have served for years.
This committee is not here to address your personal problems. The reason the same people are on the bylaw committee is because those are the people that most thoroughly know the bylaws. And it always makes sense to people who've been working on the bylaws for several years to continue that job, which whatever they produce has to be adopted by the annual meeting.
Wouldn't it make the same sense with the policy advisory? If people served on policy advisory last year as a chairman, then wouldn't it make sense that they could follow up on the work that they did last year? So wouldn't that same thought follow through, Fran?
So if I can just jump in here a little bit about it, if I can unpack the statement that you just read, it sounds like you had a couple of points. If I could, correct me if I'm wrong. One point that you brought up was, because we were talking about what might be the policies that we wish to review, might be about benefits for non-union employees of the district. Okay, that was one.
Yeah.
And the second point is what? Is there a second point? It seemed it was more about personnel of the committees itself. Or
it was. And Ken Malloy, who is the district moderator, he asked for people to volunteer to serve on policy advisory. So I knew that Cindy Gardner wanted to serve on policy advisory committee again this year because she had been the chairman and there were issues that she wanted to work on and had done some preliminary work on. So I said to Ken, well, put Cindy on it and then get a new person, you know, so that it wouldn't be Cindy and me again, and then I'll serve on bylaws. So then...
Excuse me. This has nothing to do with the Policy Advisory Committee and the reason we're here, who is on it and who was nominated.
But it was your direction to Ken. That's why
Amy,
I'm bringing it up.
Amy, this is not what we're here to talk about, is who's on the committee. We're here to talk about the policies of the Cotuit Fire District. And this is just, you know, Ken put an advertisement in the Currents asking for volunteers.
Exactly.
I gave him two names. That's all I did. So we're going to move on. Now, what is your problem with the law, the mass earned time law?
Right. That the minimum that we've got two entities in Cotuit that are offering more than the minimum benefits, okay? So that sick leave is being accrued, and that's not the minimum in the mass law. It's also being able to accumulate to a point where you could buy it back at retirement. That's not. So we've got more sick days.
No, that's
incorrect.
I can only speak for the people that I know about.
Okay.
Those are. The mass law is, on balance, a little more generous. You talked about wanting to save money. The benefits that we're currently offering, Chris and Chief Rood, Chief Rood is a little separate case.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Chris.
Yeah.
We would not be saving the taxpayers of the district money by following the law, that law, in that particular case.
So are you saying that Chris does not have more sick leave
I don't have her package in front of me, but my recollection, when someone brought it to our attention, when we were reviewing it in a fire commissioners meeting, we saw that there were some elements of the law that were actually more generous than the current package that Chris is currently employed under. So following the law would actually raise the cost to the taxpayers. That's my best recollection at this point, and it's genuinely, that's my best recollection.
Yeah. No, and thank you for that. I recall a discussion about Chris's benefits at previous meeting, and my recollection was they were far in excess of what is offered by the mass law. That Chris was being offered benefits that were more closely aligned to our union firefighters, and in the last contract that we negotiated, I think we capped the number of days of sick leave that our firefighters could accumulate in order to buy back at retirement.
So this is probably easily settled by not having to deal with recollections and just looking at it. But my sincere feeling is that the benefits there has been discussion. I will admit that there has been some discussion at Board of Fire Commissioners meeting about whether there might be some, and this has included some, the water department is sort of a more at large, should the district standardize on some benefits packages, and should, and the data that has been presented, at least at the fire commissioners meeting, has been about other adjoining towns and what they provide non-union employees. And at this stage, the Board of Fire Commissioners has tabled changing there is a discussion going on, admittedly, and there has been some things that I would say would lead someone to the conclusion that the potential packages might be considered generous, but that has not been acted on at all.
Okay, so then this is a good time for us to be talking about that.
So if
I think the chief's benefits were increased in the most recent renegotiation. In fact, even though he was not going to be moving forward to paramedic and was going to be working as an EMT, his salary wasn't even lowered. So there's been a bunch of benefits offered to non-union employees in this town, in this village, that don't seem in line with the minimum benefits. So this is a good time the four of us to be here.
Can I say something about this? One of the most important parts of the earned time law, which you have to work 30 hours before you get 1 hour, is that it makes accommodations for especially people with children, if they have to take them to the doctor's office, if they have to take them to have a meeting at school. It also accounts for anybody who has an elderly parent or someone who's ill that they have to take care of. That's written in the law. Now, in this state, that law applies to all Massachusetts state employees, to every single person who works in this state, including the bag boy who works at Stop and Shop if he only works for 2 hours a week. The only people it doesn't apply to are municipal employees. And I think that is just plain discriminatory. And the state legislature left it up to the municipalities to make a decision as to whether or not they wanted to have this law in force for them. We brought it in front of the annual meeting, and they voted yes to have the law. In all reality, I don't think that... because there are more than 11 employees of the district, that means that if the accumulated sick time is if they take it, they're paid for it. But I really don't see anyone abusing it, and I just don't see how this is of any financial deficit to the fire district. And I don't know of anybody who's not doing their job or sneaking off or doing something because they're using this law. There is nobody that's doing that.
Yeah, I would, if I can dovetail off of that, what we as citizens have to consider is not so much, I think, the law. I mean, we have to obviously follow laws. But in this case, it was, these are some guidelines that we've decided that we want to implement. And my feeling is that we have to look more at what value do we get from the work that people do. And judge that on its own merit as to whether, you know, we feel like we should have a fire chief that is paid what he's paid, or what she is paid, could be, and what Chris is paid, and what kind of work she's doing. The fact of the matter is that Chris Dawley, her portfolio of work has evolved to include far more value to the town than we currently initially envisioned at the outset when we hired her. So it is entirely one perspective you could take in a debate that she's underpaid relative to the work that she provides, especially considering the surrounding towns, whether there's a law or not. So back to the point, if you feel like one of the policies that the Policy Advisory Committee should be in the business of discussing is benefits, that's fine. You know, we can discuss that. And then I didn't know that this would be your particular point of view for this meeting, so I didn't come prepared with, okay, here are the benefits for the two employees that the fire department in the fire district, the non-union one, employs, and then we could talk about whether, from a policy perspective, are we in or out of alignment.
Right. And tonight, we don't have a representative of the water department. So we
right.
don't,
yeah.
And my understanding is they're in the process of revamping their benefit booklet and getting it approved. So we don't have a sample of that for tonight. I would have loved to have seen the point that they're at in terms of what they're putting forward. But I think you're right, Adam, that we don't have in front of us the benefits that are being offered to Chris or the chief or the water department in order to compare it to the minimum mass state law. And the taxpayers approved that law ratified it last May. And if we are in fact, offering enhanced benefits, then we should know about it and maybe they should.
Sure.
Why?
I think if I can offer just a personal opinion as to why that article passed, it was a feeling, as Fran said, of trying to not be discriminatory. It was not coming from, this is just my personal opinion, that was not coming from a perspective of, you know something, there's something wrong here in the village of Cotulla, which seems to be, this is my opinion, where you and Cindy are coming from. It's
no,
just my opinion. You don't
no,
have to
yeah, no, right no. Right you and thank you. You know for you know feeling free to say your comments. I wasn't alluding to the fact that I thought our employees weren't good employees. Fran talked about that she is not aware of anybody that is taking advantage of any of these benefits, and neither am I. I think that we have excellent employees in the village. I just want us to know whether we are or are not offering benefits in excess of what the taxpayers think we passed last May, and for this committee to look at it and to discuss it and actually nail down what we're offering.
I guess I'm the new kid in town here, but I guess how I see it is that if you've hired a fire chief to be in charge of, that's his domain. The water district supervisor, that's their domain. And if you have the faith in them as supervisors, I would think that they would have a handle on this, especially after the annual meeting voted the mass law as a policy.
Well, this committee committee is charged
with...
No, I guess I don't understand why it has anything to do with us.
Is it not up to the individual supervisors of the individual employees?
No, it's up to the Prudential Committee because they are the financial committee of the district and they have the fiduciary obligation of managing the taxes that are raised and expended. And this committee is an advisory committee to the Prudential Committee, and so our task is to look at policies in the district and to review and discuss and understand and then to make a recommendation to the Prudential Committee if we see that they're out of line with what was voted by the taxpayers. And then we make a report, this committee makes a report to the Prudential Committee and says, we just happened to review this. I mean, we have the chairman of the Prudential Committee here, but that this committee says, we reviewed this and we see that there are two departments that are offering benefits in excess of the minimum Massachusetts law.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say that might be the case. The interesting thing is that you've got a couple of contrasting thoughts here. One is this article that said we would like to make sure that people weren't being discriminated, you know, not being offered. I think the motivation was not being, you know, offer something to people that was not being offered. Then the other articles have to do with the budgets of all the different operating elements of the town. So those things are voted, those budgets, including the pay for certain employees, especially at the water department, whereas the water department is mostly non-union.
It's all non-union.
And the fire department is mostly union other than two employees. So those budgets were voted on as well. So though it's not necessarily inconsistent for the voting the citizenry to say we would like to have adopt this minimum standard that the state was talking about. But you know something? We're also going to approve these budgets. Those budgets may in fact be considered by some people as actually being more than the minimum, so to speak. But they are what they are.
But the taxpayers don't know what those benefits are. They think that they approved the Mass State law for benefits.
I disagree.
They made the decision.
They were thinking that would be a beginning point for this district.
But they were shown the numbers, and they said the numbers were all right.
Nobody said that we should go back to some minimum. First of all, we negotiated the union contract, and this year the contract put them on a median par with the rest of the firefighters on Cape Cod. the chief's contract, you know, you can't offer the minimum that they pay chiefs and expect to get somebody who's competent to do the job. You know, we paid the going rate, and for him we actually paid a little less than the going rate because, you know, of benefits that he was getting over on Nantucket. But, you know, he decided he wanted to come here. So, I don't see any point or purpose in beating this to death. You know, this is not about keeping people at the minimum. This was about making sure that the employees of this district had all of the same advantages that every other employee in the state of Massachusetts have, period. You know?
I think it's worth spending. I'm okay with spending some time on this because I think it's just, my opinion is that there's some confusion that you have on this issue. And it's exactly what I echo what Fran just said. My interpretation is personal, and I think this, I've talked to other people, admittedly not a sample that is projectable, it's just anecdotal. They wanted to make sure that in a situation where someone was employed, they at least had something that every other employee in the state has, other than because it was not given to or mandated for municipal employees. Okay, fine. It didn't mean that it was, okay, you have to then take every other employment agreement that you have and conform to this. That's not what everyone voted on.
No.
I don't believe for a minute that's what the intent of the law is.
The law clearly states that you don't have to do that. So I'd like to move on. I have one issue, which is recently there was a final, in the newspaper a couple of times, there was a final notice to the Centerville, Osterville, Marston's Mills Water Department consumers, basically saying that they had sent out final demand notices, and if they weren't paid, their water would be shut off. We don't do that, as far as I know, send demand notices in the district, and what the district has been doing, and the water department has been doing, is after someone hasn't paid their bill for a year plus, they put a lien on their property, which is a very cumbersome policy. And the other problem with that is that we don't necessarily get that lien money back in a timely fashion from the town collector. So, and we're not even exactly sure how much water lien money is in arrears at the town collector's office, because they put it all in with the non-payment of taxes. So I think that, and I know of one group that's not paying, and the policy of the water department is to never turn off the water. So there is no incentive for anyone to pay their water bill if their water is never going to get turned off. And as long as they aren't planning on selling their home, there's no point in paying off the lien, because, so I, you know, it's something I'd like to look at and discuss, but obviously we need Don here for that.
Sure, it sounds like we need more information and discussion around the policy of denying utilities is something we want to get involved in. But, and I'm not taking a position, I'm just
yeah.
It does seem to me to be worth discussing.
Yeah. there is mass law that governs being able to turn off water, and when you can do it, and how you can do it. Yeah. Whoops.
Because I forgot to do that.
So yeah, and you know,
Quinn, do we recently? I think at the water meeting, it was discussed the number of residents who would be getting those letters. Do we know how many didn't pay and where we stand in terms of delinquencies now?
No.
I think it would be good to have that kind of data. I don't know whether, as you said, it might be a little difficult to disentangle that information.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what the scope of the problem is, too.
Right.
How many people, how much money.
Yeah.
What is
because basically.
It's a big list.
Oh, it is?
The water. The other water rate payers are actually paying for these people. Now, I think that, you know, and I've told the chairman of the water commissioners that I think they need to devise a policy for low-income people and have a specific policy so that, if you can prove you're low-income, you get a lower rate for your dump fee, and I have no problem doing that for somebody who's low-income for the water. But it's my understanding that a fair number of these people that are on the, you know, haven't paid list are there chronically. And, I don't think that's all. And it's also a problem for the finance department, because this money that should have been put in 17 doesn't come in till 18. You know, so it's not just a simple matter of, you know, well, it's only a few $1,000 and it's no big deal. So I think it needs some attention.
Mm. Right. And it would be good to get feedback from the, you know, from the member of this, the water commissioner, member of this committee, who could let us know. My recollection is that the mail cost of sending these letters, I'm going to guess it was $80. So then that means that there would be 160 people that would have got the letter, but I could be wrong. You think it's more than that?
No, the letters are sent certified.
Oh, they're sent certified?
They're all sent certified.
Oh, so then the $80 wouldn't be as many people.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't know the people that haven't even abided by that request, and I don't either.
No,
I don't either.
And we don't need to know that. That's not information we need to know. I think that my problem is that there's no reason for them to, you know, it's like dealing with a kid. You tell a kid you're going to take away their iPad if they do X, and you don't take it away, you know, good luck to
That's
you.
That's right. No, I agree.
You know, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree with you, and especially if the numbers are larger than we think, you know, if these people are, you know, frequent flyers.
Well, I mean, to a degree, it doesn't really matter. It's one or, you know, 1,000. It's the policy could there, we might indeed decide as a body to recommend that, hey, the policy to whomever makes policy, we actually think that it would be a good idea to turn off the water in order to make this problem. It's still going to be a problem. It's just going to manifest itself in a different way.
I think, you know, I think probably, you know, when I was growing up and everybody knew everybody else in the district, which is when I suspect this policy went into effect, you know, it was a different story, but it was a different time. And, you know, and I think, and I'm sure there were people who took advantage of it then. I have no doubt. I could probably count them on my fingers. But I still don't think, you know, this... It's not only COMM that does it. I also looked online, and the Hyannis Water Department does it. Dennis, you know, has a policy that if you don't pay, they're going to shut your water off. And there are certain times of year that you can do it, and certain times you can't, obviously. But I just think that, you know, the water department's a business, and it needs to be run like a business. It's not obvious to me either, you know. I mean, we have...
Well, my question is it the same logic as the electric company has, that if there's an elderly or a child in the household...
But if there's a... if I can't speak to the elderly, but if there's a child, they have to have a note from their pediatrician. And I've signed more than my fair share of those notes for gas companies and electric companies and for... you know, you know, other municipal services for people. So it's not, I mean, they have to prove that that they have a child who has asthma or diabetes or, you know, is premature or whatever kind of problem.
And you sign forms that say, please do not shut off?
Yeah.
That's the forms you sign?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Sort of
yeah.
For a next meeting, things that we want to work on.
So, you know, I just as soon wait to have another meeting at the first to the first of the year, January, if that's acceptable.
So, well, what are we going to do about this water tanker? Are you going to contact Don and ask him to get some of the
I'm going
to.
I'm going to, you know, give him a synopsis of what we discussed.
Okay.
And, you know, and then...
Could we do it sooner than the first of the year, Fran? You know, set up another meeting to look at the water situation and nail down what benefits we are offering?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm happy to talk to you about the benefits of the fire department, you know, the fire, the things that I know about anytime. I don't know if I don't think that this came out of the meeting we had last night. I don't think right now is a great time to think about standardizing, just because it's a problem that it might be too difficult to try to solve through standardization of benefits. I think everything has to be judged on its own merits at this stage. So the way we currently, when you guys come to the fire commission meeting, we can always talk about it. Happy to talk to you as just, you know, person to person, anytime. But as a sort of a report out from this meeting, and you know, I think the the water thing is worth doing. I know personally my schedule, probably it would be difficult for me to figure out that I could make another meeting before, you know, at that time. And I know that you're going to ask Don for information.
Yeah.
And he's going to take me some time to get that.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, I don't think there's any huge rush in, you know, I know you're going to be.
Well, I'm going to be a grandmother in November. So
yeah,
I'm
right. So she's out, you know.
Yeah. Still exciting. So
yeah.
That sounds great.
So I think, you know, I think waiting till after the first of the year, I, you know, unless somebody else has a problem with that, I don't think that's a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're right. We can absolutely talk about this in an informal manner. I would actually, if we could, I would like this committee to let the Prudential Committee know what is being offered and in what situations it is in excess of the law that we passed. Just so the Prudential Committee is aware of that.
We didn't pass a law. All we said was that we wanted to adopt standards.
That's right. So we adopted.
Those people who might not be protected by that law. So it wasn't like we were adopting this law or saying that we would apply this law retroactively to fix some imagined problem.
All right. Well, actually, last year's Policy Advisory Committee was planning to come up with recommendations about benefits. And when the report went to Prudential Committee, so the report found its way back to the Prudential Committee, then Fran said, well, why don't we just adopt the mass law? So the Policy Advisory Committee was in the process of putting together a benefits package that would make sense for the district, and then
I still think, you know, that it's the benefits packages that we vote on at town meeting are really sort of beside the point of the law. It's each operating department presents their budgets to the citizenry, and we vote on the merits of that, including things like benefits.
Yeah. Okay, but we don't know what benefits are being offered. If I'm sitting in the audience at an annual meeting and we say, okay, we're adopting the Massachusetts state law of minimum benefits, I have no idea what water is offering or what fire is offering.
I really believe that you're confusing these two issues.
Yeah.
One is not related to the other in terms of driving all the negotiations that we have with the people that we have. It's not like you have, okay, guess what? Everything you have goes down to this thing. It means that anybody that is hired has at least that.
That's exactly right.
At least that. It's
yep.
It's not a forcing function to save to take something away from something that has been dutifully voted on by the citizens.
Right. No.
And is viewed as value.
No, I totally agree. It is a minimum level of benefits. But we are offering more than that, and I would like to know what that is, and I would like the Prudential Committee to know what that is, and that could come from a study committee like the Policy Advisory Committee. We're a perfect committee to actually look at that, itemize it, and put it in a succinct report for the Prudential Committee.
The benefits that the Mass Law talks about is one kind of benefit. There's many other benefits.
Yeah. That's right. So I don't understand what the point of, you know, why you don't understand that they have health benefits, vacation benefits, sick time benefits, insurance benefits if they want them. It's just a standard benefits that are pretty much, you know, offered to anybody who's employed anywhere.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I really have the feeling like that there's a, that you guys, I'll just talk about you because Cindy's not here. It feels to me like there's no way to address your feelings that something is untoward, that someone's getting something that for nothing, or that they're abusing things. I really have a strong feeling that's the
right, but you're assuming that this is an emotional argument. I just want the facts. I just want to know who's getting what and how much over the minimum are we, and do people know that, and does the Prudential Committee know that? Because Fran doesn't know that, and you don't know that. You said that you're not sure what's being offered. Water isn't even here tonight, so they can't show us their employee benefits handbook and what actually is being offered.
If the residents of Kituit voted on a dollar amount that the particular water or fire committee deemed was appropriate for the employees, what difference does it make how much over it is?
You could have asked these questions at candidates night when Ray went over the budget. You could have asked these questions at the annual meeting.
And now that I know that you might come to the next one and ask the question, I'll be prepared. I'll get the information. That's my commitment to you. I'll do that. I'll make sure that I can talk about. My understanding is it's all about SICA.
Yes, that's it. It's an expansion of the federal law, is what it was.
And so I'm telling you, okay, here's what the law says is the minimum, and I'll tell you what the, because this is open book, right? And if Don were here, or Jess were here, they would tell you what all the sick time benefits are enjoyed by those employees.
I'm pretty sure it's 2 weeks. Everybody gets 2 weeks.
I really don't. There's a huge gap between either the minimum what people have, and I really don't believe that there's any sort of malfeasance going on.
No, I think that that the ability to accumulate sick leave is probably the issue, and the ability to buy back at retirement could be a huge liability for the district. So I would like to see what that is, because I don't know. I haven't seen the latest employee benefits handbook for water, and I don't know what's going on with the non-union employees at the fire department. So I would think we would want to get that information, talk about it at this committee, and actually have a summary for the Prudential Committee of what is in fact being offered district-wide.
So, the chief's salary is a public document.
Yep.
So is Chris's.
And the union contract is a public document.
The union contract is separate.
I wasn't talking about union contract. But my understanding is that the sick days were capped in the most recent union. I wasn't either. Fran was. It was capped, wasn't it?
Yeah, at 212 days.
Right.
I believe
it was capped. And so I'd like to just see a summary of how those benefits stand up against the state law, just so we know what's going on.
Is there a concern that we're not being fair to our employees, or that we're being more than fair?
I'm a person who likes information, okay? So there's no emotional. This isn't about a feeling I have. This is about wanting the information, discussing it at this committee, and putting it forward to the.
I think it's great that you want the information, but that's really not the subject of the policy. No. So
that would be our recommendation. So the recommendation of this committee would be, now that we know that we're far and above the, or we are or we aren't, the state standards, that our recommendation for Prudential is that we think it's warranted or we don't think it's warranted, or we think that the taxpayers should have a sense of it, because what they look at salary in the budget. They look at what we're paying our people. I don't know that they're looking closely at the cost of benefits, because I think the benefits are part of the Prudential Committee budget and are not part of the underlying departments.
But there has to be some kind of proven value to this information. Meaning, if you think that having this information is going to affect some change, then fine. You know, we'll give you the information. The information is there for you to get.
Yeah.
But I am not really interested in, like you said, of trying to revise history downward, because we have the employees that we have, and I'm very happy we have them.
Okay. And you're right. We may not make any changes or suggest any changes, or we're very pleased with the negotiating we've done for the quality of employees we have. But I think that this is what this committee was doing last year, is we were researching a benefit package for the district, and then just as we were getting to the point where we were going to research it and make recommendations, then the Prudential Committee said, no, let's just adopt the Mass Law.
No, Amy, we did not say that. You know, I'm the person who, for a long time prior to your report coming to the meeting, was pushing to adopt the Mass Law. It's, you know, I think if you want to know the benefits that are given the water department employees, you can ask Jennifer. I'm sure she'd be glad to give them to you. Adam said he'll get you the benefits that the fire department employees get. The finance employees don't get any benefits above, you know, being able to accumulate sick time, because that is the law that we adopted, and workman's compensation, because they're part-time employees. You know, and obviously none of the elected officials have any benefits other than their stipend. So, I don't.
So our assistant treasurer is it 20 hours, Fran?
She's 24 hours.
24 hours. So then she would be eligible for sick time because she's over 20.
She's over one. Anybody who works 1 hour is eligible in this state to accumulate sick time.
Okay.
Now, so there's somebody coming in here at 6 o'clock.
Okay. So, yeah, so we're good. We got.
So.
All right. So we're in the process of talking about what we would like to look at a next meeting. And I would like to put benefits on the table. You would like to put water payers that are in arrears on the table. I'm good with that. And I don't think we put anything.
I think that discussing the benefits is not productive. Because I don't think, you know, that there's a union contract. Any member of any resident of this village can ask anybody information about salaries, benefits, whatever, you know, overtime, whatever. and I just don't see what the point is of accumulating all of that to decide what, you know, I'm going to limit people's raises in the future, or, you know, I think, you know.
So as chairman of the Prudential Committee, you're saying that you wouldn't welcome to have that information to share with your fellow Prudential Committee members?
So I think this is an interesting point, and what we ought to do is try to separate something that you're interested in,
right,
from what should the Policy Advisory Committee be recommending as a policy.
Right, and it can be anything.
So if you're saying that, for example,
right,
that you would like to make a recommendation that the town follow a policy of something,
right,
to do so, but not to have just a discussion that is sort of open-ended about benefits. I think the more productive way to have that conversation is for you and I, for example, this week, as opposed to waiting for the next time we meet. If you want to know some information about the gap between the law and the particular benefits that Chris and Chief Reed have, I'll give that to you now. So you don't have, it's not something that I believe should be as part of the agenda of the policy, unless you're saying that there should be a policy that all employees have only the minimum benefits as in terms of sick time accruals as stipulated by the mass law that was adopted at the town meeting. That's a very different thing. That's a very different thing, which I would not be in favor of.
And I don't know that at first that's what I thought Amy was getting at, that we are overpaying people. But at the same time, from what my understanding of the Policy Advisory Committee, it's not within our purview to do that. It's within the Water Department and the Fire Department. I mean,
that's why there's a member of each elected committee to talk about the policies in the district, to look at them, to study them, to be informed about them, so that...
But obviously there must be a policy already in place within the different departments, like the Water Department and the Fire Department.
Yeah, I'd like to know what it is.
Well, I think that's a sort of a citizen's issue that you're bringing up, which is a valid one. I'm not trivializing it or invalidating it, but it's not a policy. It's not a recommendation. It's not something that we're recommending. So I think, I don't want to be real forceful here. I apologize. I really believe that the best way for you to get what you want is for you. You can ask Don or Jen for the information that you want, and I'll give you the information that you want about the fire. The two employees, but we're not really talking about policy. We're talking about some information that you're looking to have, which you have every right to have. Does that make sense? And then the recommendation that we're saying that this, in terms of this meeting, that we actually want to have a discussion about creating a policy. You know, Fran's brought up something where it's actually, we're talking about a change in policy.
That's right.
Enacting a policy in the absence of policy.
That's right. And this committee can have an advising role, and the advising role could be, hey, Prudential Committee, this is what, in a summarized form, the departments in Kituit are doing, and this is...
Our advice could be as simple as you need to have a policy about this. It's not necessarily I don't believe it's our privilege to come up with the policy. I think it's our recommendation to say that there ought to be a policy.
I'm only talking about summarizing it. I don't even know that this committee is going to make a recommendation one way or the other unless we actually look at it and we say, oh, my God,
so
is that what we're offering?
That's
my goodness.
That's what I believe we've decided, that for the next meeting, the subject that we're going to talk about is, and we will have to, you're going to ask Don for something.
Yep.
Going to have to bring some information to that productive meeting to talk about what might be the recommendation to the district about the water. The current policy, as I understand it, is that there is no shutting off of the water in the face of not an unpaid bill. So we want to change that.
Right.
Okay. So I agree with that.
So it's time to move on.
We gotta go.
Is after the new year is better for you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, obviously she's either going to be cooking hunted stuff or taking care of newborns.
Right, yeah.
I will more than gladly support it.
Right, and although I would like it sooner, I'm not interfering with any grandmothers.
So
I am not doing it.
I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
All those in favor, so moved.